and say, you read from 1 Corinthians all the way to Galatians, you see Paul had received a measure of brokenness. Through his measure of stripping and brokenness, he received a breakthrough. When you read Romans, 1 Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians, you'll discover that he starts each writing with Paul called to be an apostle. It's one thing to recognize what God wants you to be. It's another thing to die out, pay the price, and step into the mantle of what God is calling you to be. This is the first instance that Paul says, I'm an apostle. This was in this chapter, he contains the passage, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. So from henceforth let no man trouble me. But here he writes, Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. See, prophets and apostles, pastors, evangelists, teachers are not made, they're born. You just wake up one day, decide you're going to be a prophet, a pastor, a teacher. You're born with it, anointing. You're born with it in your bosom. You can run from it and hide from it. God will make His gifts known. And God, the Father, who raised Him from the dead, and all brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God, the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into grace of Christ unto another gospel. So Paul's saying here is there's a true gospel, there's another gospel. And the danger of this other gospel is it appears very close and similar to what the true gospel is. Which is not another, but it be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And the apostle was so anointed in this passage that he didn't stop there, but he repeated it again to make sure, put an emphasis, so we'd understand the severity of not preaching the gospel according to the Word of God. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel, say other gospel. So it's important what you believe. You can't just believe any way you want to believe. You can't just say, well, I love God, and you know, I'm sincere. Your sincerity might get you right into deep trouble if you don't know this book. If you don't understand what the gospel is. Amen. See, Adam and Eve messed up in the garden because they tried to live by conscience. They lived by what they thought they should do instead of living by commandment, what God told them to do. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you received, let him be accursed. The Living Bible says it this way. I'm amazed that you are turned away so soon from God, who in His love and mercy invited you to share the eternal life He gives to Christ. You are already following a different way to heaven, which really doesn't go to heaven at all. For there is no other way than the one we showed you. You are being fooled by those who twist and change the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curses fall on anybody, including myself, who preaches any other way to be saved than the one we first told you about. Wow. Yes, if an angel comes from heaven and preaches any other message, let him forever be cursed. And in verse 9 in the Living Bible, I will say it again. If anyone preaches any other gospel than the one you were welcomed with, let God's curse fall upon you. One faith, say one faith, one gospel. This seems to be very strong language coming from the apostle, but he begins by affirming his calling, by affirming that he was called and he was an apostle, not because man chose him. Let me tell you something. When you enter into positions and you enter into callings that man has the power and authority to set you up, then man has the power and authority to set you down. But when you enter into a place that God calls you, that's why I'm not afraid to stand in this pulpit and face any devil that would try to come against the church of living God. Any ounce of false doctrine or deception or compromise from truth. And I can stand here and preach what thus saith the word of God, because I have been called and I've been anointed to this city. No man called me. No man set me here. No man put me in position here. God placed me in this city and called me to speak forth the gospel and to do the work of God. Amen. That's why I won't back down in the face of any deception or any enemy, because I know God is for me and He has called me. There are things that when I stop to think in my natural mind where we're going and what God's doing, it's scary in the natural sense. I'll be honest with you, there are times I walk onto the property of 3822 Cook Road, and in a moment of human weakness, I get overwhelmed and I think to myself, what in God's name are you doing? I'll be honest with you. Have you lost your ever-living mind, John Arcovio? You're not on the limb anymore. You're in thin air. You're floating. But then I remind myself, I'm simply following a call. I'm simply answering a voice. I'm simply walking according to a divine heavenly vision. Because I believe with all of my heart that there are thousands in this city that are sick and tired of packaged religion, that are sick and tired of entertainment Christianity, that are hungry for a life-changing, transforming, anointed gospel. Oh, put your hands together and praise Him. Anointing so many are not aware of. They're not familiar with it. We are here to show anointing to the city. Thursday night, when God allowed us the divine opportunity to lead the city of St. Joseph in prayer at the East Hill Malls along with other pastors of the city, at the very end, so many remarked about the anointing. See, the anointing is something you can't copy. Anointing, you can't buy it in a bottle. You can't get it from a book. The only place you can get anointing is by being broken before God. By walking the way, hallelujah, of knowing Him. By walking the path of brokenness and being sold out and consecrated to God. And there is so much that God affords us to do because of the anointing. I've had people come to me and ask me, where'd you get your degree from? I am not a learned man. If there's any similitude of education or knowledge or oratory, it's the anointing, my friend. It's the anointing that touches the mere words of man and ignites the spirit of man and turns mere words into life-changing messages. Oh, come on, somebody. Put your hands together and praise Him. When I was in Pakistan, and you were there, Brother Joseph, I don't think I spoke anything eloquent, but I had officials calling me doctor. Doctor.
Dr. Orkovia.
It's the anointing. You take away the anointing, it's a mess. You don't want to see this without the anointing. Hallelujah. Thank God for the anointing. Oh, come on, somebody put your hands together and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But anointing also comes with a measure of responsibility to guard the truth. And I tell you, that's one thing in this church. A lot of stuff might change. You hear this man of God right now. There might be a lot of changes in styles and looks and where we have service. But one thing will never change. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You must be born again of water and spirit to enter the kingdom of God. Hallelujah! That will not change the doctrine and the gospel of the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That, my friend, will stand forever! And there are things we set in stone. They will not change. No matter where we go or what we do or how big or whatever happens, that will remain the same. We will be a church built on the apostles' doctrine. Amen. Guard the truth. You gotta guard it. You gotta watch over it. His calling was by God. And that's what gave him the authority to speak the words, because he was already, the fire of Pentecost was still crackling in the background. The freshness of cloven tongues like a fire and the rushing mighty wind was still on the memory of the church, but already slipping its way in the back door of the church was compromise and doctrinal error. But you see, you're standing on a pinnacle with God. All the devil says is, you know what? One step down won't matter. You take one step down, then pretty soon, you know, then one more step won't matter. It's just one step. And pretty soon, you find yourself at the very bottom of the ladder and you wonder how you got there. One step of compromise at a time. Giving up here, letting a little go there. Well, that just doesn't matter. And pretty soon you find yourself heading down a road. I'm going to tell you something. Compromise will not stop. Compromise will suck you down into its treacherous depths. I've seen it sweep churches all around this United States of America. I've seen churches that used to stand for truth and were powerful in prayer that begin to give a little here and change a little there. And well, that doesn't matter. And begin to twist. And pretty soon, hallelujah, the few things they gave up, pretty soon then the next step didn't seem so bad. And the next step seemed so bad, and pretty soon there was no similitude of what they once stood for and lived for. I got news for you. We are going to stand, church. We are going to stand steadfast. We're going to stand true. We're going to stand strong. Oh, come on, somebody, praise Him. He said, I marvel you removed from that message. Find out the first message they preach. You got to go all the way back to the very beginning and find out the message that was given to them. And you find the message that was delivered to them to preach is found in the book of Luke 24. And as Jesus is about to be caught away into the heavens, He gives them His final words, what to preach, what gospel to preach to the world. And in Luke chapter 24 and verse 47, He says, repentance, say repentance, and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He says, preach repentance. Preach remission of sins that happens in His name. And your witnesses, and I'll send the promise of the Father. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power. That word endued means to become clothed or covered like a garment. That word power is endued. dunamis, or supernatural ability. I'm not talking about just a goosebump on Sunday afternoon. I'm not just talking about turning over a leaf, or shaking a preacher's hand, or signing a card. I'm talking about a Holy Ghost anointing that can change your life. That's joy unspeakable, and it's full of glory. It's an anointing that will change the way you talk, and the way you walk. It's the anointing of the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Everyone say, good news. That's the good news. That's the message. That's the gospel message. Repentance. Remission of sins in His name. And power from on high. Being endued. I'm not just talking about turning over a new leaf or trying to be a better Christian. I'm talking about being turned inside out. When's the last time you laid on your face and you talked in tongues because you couldn't hardly walk anymore? When's the last time you laid on your face and you sawed and you prayed and you interceded until God came down and oh, I'm not talking about it's a Sunday go to meeting church. I'm not just talking about religion. I'm not just talking about sitting in a pew tapping your hands. I'm talking about praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about letting God turn your life inside out. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm not just talking about good, pious Christians that come to church on Sunday and enjoy a good message. I'm talking about sold out apostolic, anointed people of God. People that can be touched by God. People that can put aside the formality of things. And let God visit your soul. Let God shake you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Let God visit you in a way like you've never been visited before. We haven't had enough services. But people laying out in the Holy Ghost. People rolling in the altars. People being shaken and smitten and slain by the Spirit. It's time for us to get shaken again. Church, it's time for us to shake off our lethargy. It's time for us to step into an anointing that's our heritage. An anointing that's our right. Oh, come on, somebody. Put your hands together. I feel the Holy Ghost. I just wish somebody would let loose and let God. I said I wish somebody right now would let loose and let God do something in your life. Shake off the chains. Shake off the bondages. Oh, put your hands together and praise Him. I thank God for wonderful singing and ministry, but every now and then you just gotta have a Holy Ghost fit. Oh, some of you, I'm getting tired of the Holy Ghost. Come on, I wish some of you just get loose in God. Every now and then you just need a Holy Ghost fit. You just need to let God shake your hair down. Let God move in your life. Let God come down and visit you. You need to just step out and let the Holy Ghost take control. Oh, come on, somebody. Put your hands together and praise Him. Shata ha ha da ba ha. Yeah, go ahead. Ha! I'm talking about a Holy Ghost. I'm talking about a power. I'm talking about an anointing that the devil fears. I'm talking about an unction that'll touch your mind and change your life. Oh, come on. How about somebody right now just get loose? Ha! Shatahadabaha. I loose you in the Holy Ghost. It's the anointing. That's what you feel right now. Honey, that ain't the air conditioning. That ain't them fans. They're not even turning. What you feel right now is it's the power of God. It's the angels of the Lord. It's what you can't see with your natural eye. But it's an anointing of God. It's a sword of the Spirit that wants to be risen up against your dilemma. It's a sword of victory.
victory. And God wants to rise against your battle, against your devil, against your sickness. And my friend, that sword has never lost a battle. That sword of the Lord has never one time lost a battle. It has never known defeat. That sword has seen victory. Lift your hands and say, God, lift your sword in my life. Lift your sword in my life. I feel the right hand of God. Oh, come on, somebody. I loose you in the Holy Ghost. I loose your minds. I loose your spirits. It's the anointing. It's the anointing. When you feel like your mind, you're about to lose your mind because the battles you're going through and the dilemmas you're facing, and you don't know which way to go, there's an anointing that comes from prayer. I'm telling you, if you'll go home and lay hands on your home, anoint those walls of your house, angels will minister. And God will loose the Word. God will loose the Word. The Word. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Greater is he that is in you than is he that is in the world. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God. Hallelujah. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Oh, put your hands again. Oh, I kind of feel like some things just got cleared out in the Holy Ghost. Some devils that thought they could just hang around here and be welcome. Let me tell you something, you get this kind of anointing going, the devil don't like it. It gets too hot in the kitchen for him. Ha! Ha! Over some of you right now and claim your victory. Reject that spirit of discouragement. Reject that spirit of depression. Reject that lying devil. And tonight, receive the word of the Lord. The word of victory. The word that says, we are overcomers through the power of the blood of Jesus. We're overcomers. We are more than conquerors. You are not some weak little helpless lamb caught up in the middle of some storm, surrounded by wolves. You are the children of God, and the lion of the tribe of Judah is rising in this service tonight to stand on your behalf. And every devil that thought he could come and wreck your home, and wreck your marriage, and wreck your finances, in the name of Jesus, the word of faith and truth is rising against him. Oh, come on and praise Him. You see, that's why the devil hates this gospel. That's why he wants to water it down. And that's just why I won't let him. Because there's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in truth. And when you stand for the word, hallelujah, when you stand for truth, he will stand for you. I feel the right hand of God rising mighty in this service right now. I want you right now, if you're sick in your body, throw your hands in the air. And I want you to claim your, I want you to receive your healing right now. I want you to accept it right now by faith. I loose healing in this building. I take authority over every spirit of infirmity. I take authority over diabetes. I take authority over every pain. I loose in this service right now healing in Jesus' name. I want you to put your hand on your head like this. God, I pray for every mental torment. For every mental...
I pray against every mental torment. I speak the word of faith, of peace, the mind of Christ in this service. In Jesus' name. Oh, can you praise Him right now? See, every now and then, you just got to get sick and tired. Say, devil, I've had enough. It may not be pretty, but I'm fixing to break through. I'm fixing to grab me a Holy Ghost club, and I'm fixing a clean house. Devil, I'm sick and tired of you touching my family. Get your hands off my marriage. While you're at it, get your hands off my finances and my health. In the name of Jesus, my body is a temple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have no authority in this life. I was purchased by the blood of Jesus. I live by faith in that blood. And tonight, I claim my victory. Oh, come on, somebody. That's right. See, every now and then, you just got to go crazy. Just kind of go freaky on the devil. That's right. Every now and then, you just got to bust out. He thinks he got you figured out. He thinks you're just all cool, and you just kind of bust on him and start going crazy and get your eye twitching a little bit. All right, devil, you pushed me too far. I'm fixing to fast 3 days. I'm fixing to pray all night. I'm fixing to go out and teach a Bible study and bring somebody to God. Oh, come on. Put your hands together and praise Him. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Because I don't just want to have the title of being apostolic. I want to be apostolic. I'm so hungry, church, to see bona fide miracles. I want to see blind eyes get opened. I want to see deaf ears unstopped. I want to see the lame walk. I even want to see the dead raised. I want to see lives put together. We're not just in a social gospel. We're not just in a clique. We're an anointed church with the power of God resting on us. I'm telling you, church, we're on a journey. We're heading into a breakthrough. That's why hell has thrown everything he can. But know what, devil? Keep throwing, because you know what? I'm just going to climb over it. Because I got my eye on the prize. I ain't turning back. I'm going to keep going. You see, when Paul landed on the island shipwrecked, the Bible says it was raining and cold. And they went out to gather some sticks to make a fire. And while he was gathering sticks, everyone began to murmur and say, God's against them. That's what happens when you get in trouble. It's really nice to have people that believe in you before you get there. I mean, when you built your church and you got revival, everyone comes and says, boy, I always knew you had it in you. Thank God for a group of people that believe in you before you get there. Come on, somebody. Believe in you before you have your breakthrough. Believe in you before you're totally over it. Totally in victory. And they were sitting back saying the gods were against them. That's why they were shipwrecked and cast. They don't understand God's providence and God's divine design and God's hand. And while he's sitting there picking up sticks, the Bible says a snake came out and fastened itself on the hand of the apostle. Sometimes that's how it is. You're right in the middle of just trying to build and do something for God, and a snake jumps out and latches onto you. Some folks go running around with a snake hanging. Ah, a snake! Not the apostle. Because he was anointed of God.
The Bible says he just shook it off in the fire and felt no harm. Why? He didn't let an old snake jumping out and biting him turn him away. He built a fire. He did what he could do to bring warmth and to bring positive forward motion to everyone around him that was in trouble. And when he shook that snake off in the fire, they changed their mind. And they said, well, he's a God. God's not against them. He is a God. See how fickle people are? You see, if you try to pastor and you try to do everything to what people say, you're going to be in trouble. I was reading the Aesop fable just recently of a father and a son. They were walking along with a donkey. And they were walking along and the donkey had a huge load on it. And someone came along and looked and said, oh, that poor donkey. He's got that heavy load. Look at that poor donkey. And they begin to berate the father and the son. What's wrong with you? Why in the world are you letting that poor donkey carry that load? And so they unloaded all the donkey, and the father put a bunch of stuff on his back, and the son put his stuff on their back, and they started walking. Pretty soon someone came and said, my, how dare you, young man? That's your father. How dare you go and let him carry everything? And so the young man put everything on his back. And there they go, walking, trying to lead that donkey and the father along. And along comes someone else and says, what's wrong with you, young man? You got a good, strong donkey there. And your poor father, he's limping. You ought to have him walk on the donkey, ride on the donkey. And so he loads everything on the donkey and perches his father up on the donkey. And that poor donkey is walking around. Someone comes along and says, what's wrong with you? You're going to kill that poor donkey. So finally, the young man just picks up the donkey. And all the stuff and the father and he's tottering. He's on a bridge and he loses his balance and falls. And the donkey falls over and drowns in the river. So the moral of the story is, if you try to please everyone, you might as well kiss your donkey goodbye. Hello, somebody. And I gave you the G-rated version. Hello, somebody. We're not here. We're here to follow God. We're here to follow the Holy Ghost. We're here to build a church on the power of truth. Oh, come on, somebody. Everyone say, good news. Hallelujah. Turn neighbor and say, thank God. We don't got to kiss our donkey goodbye. The word of the gospel. You can be seated. I lost a bunch of you there. Hallelujah. That was John Rocovio's version. Aesop's version was, you can't please everybody all the time. But that was my interpretation of that situation. The very word gospel means good message or good news. The good message or the good news of the gospel that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4 was the death to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, of which you are also saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Everyone say death. And was buried. Say burial. And rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The resurrection. That is the good news of the gospel. Calvary. The death. The burial. And the resurrection. Oh, come on, somebody, praise Him. So now we understand what the good news is. But how is the good news applied to me? How does this true gospel of good news, how is it applied to mankind? So there are many that are confused on what the gospel is and how it truly applies to us today. God's intent for us is that we would know the gospel and allow the gospel to be applied to our lives. So the first part of the gospel is repentance. Say repentance. Repentance signifies Egypt's, when Israel was delivered from Egypt and they sacrificed the land. Here Israel was under complete domination of the Egyptians. God heard their cries and sent a deliverer, Moses. Before they could be delivered, they had to kill a lamb and shed the blood. And when the lamb was killed and the blood was put on the two doorposts and the lintel, the death angel, the Bible said, passed over them. That's why I like to plead the blood. That's why I plead the blood over my family. That's why when I prayed over the city Thursday night, I didn't bear any bones about it. I pled the blood of Jesus. Why? The devil can't cross the bloodline. The devil can't cross the... When you plead the blood over your family, when you plead the blood over your car, when you plead the blood over your home, and you keep that blood applied, the devil cannot cross it. I remind you, this angel that came against Israel was not from the enemy. God sent a death angel to the nation of Egypt. But not even a death angel instituted by God could cross the bloodline. That's how powerful the bloodline is. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. In the wilderness, they had the tabernacle, or the altar of sacrifice in the tabernacle plan. While in the wilderness, God desired to dwell with His people. So God instructed Moses to build a tabernacle where he could dwell. Once every year, there was a day where people's sins would be atoned for. This day was known as the Day of Atonement. Atonement meaning rolling over or rolling ahead. What happened was, for 1 year, when they came and they offered the sacrifices, and they offered the lambs and the bullocks and the turtle doves in recompense for their sins, God atoned, or He rolled their sins ahead 1 year. But it required every year for them to come and keep offering these sacrifices. The people were instructed to bring their animals and to sacrifice them to atone for this sin, bloodshed. But this is where Jesus comes in. He came and paid the price for us. He died as a criminal. He didn't die honorably. He died stuck between two thieves. A death of remorse and shame to pay the price for us. That if we would simply repent, the price was already paid at Calvary. And the blood that Jesus shed for our sins would be applied to our lives. I'm amazed at some folks that struggle with the truth of repentance. That if they would simply repent of their sins, God, the Bible says, is faithful and just to forgive. What does He forgive? To forgive us our sins. God's pattern has not changed. Just as Israel killed and shed the blood for their deliverance, Jesus shed His blood for us. And that plan of salvation, my friend, has remained intact. It's not something that just came up during the New Testament. It was something that began as a model from the very beginning and carried through the entire Old Testament into the New Testament and became what we know to be the plan of salvation. So when we die to our sinful nature through repentance, we are, the Bible says, crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave His life for me. How do I die, Pastor? We die by repenting of our sins. Repenting is not just saying, I'm sorry. Repenting is realizing I have offended a just and holy God. I have caused the just and holy God to be wounded for my transgressions and bruised because of my iniquities. And when I accept and realize the fact
that I, my sins, that I experienced godly sorrow, and I made the choice to turn away from a lifestyle of sin and turn to a holy God and start walking towards Him. Let me tell you how God is. When you just take one step towards Him, as you begin to make that motion of that step, He takes 20 towards you. He comes running your way because He's just waiting for that moment of turning for repentance. I feel God's conviction right now. Could you lift your hands all over this building? God's calling somebody today. God's calling someone tonight, perhaps from a lifestyle that's not pleasing to Him. He's calling you back to repentance, back to experience the power of His blood. Hallelujah. That's why Peter could stand up on the day of Pentecost and he could preach it. Repent in Acts 2:38 and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. The remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, the Bible tells us in Romans 6:3, know you not, as many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. Colossians 2:12, buried with Him in baptism. You see, in repentance, God forgives all your sins. In baptism, God washes away or remits your sins. It's like if I had an ink pen right now, and I accidentally broke it and slung a bunch of ink all over your shirt. I could say, oh, Brother Jonathan, I am so sorry. And in your kindness and your generosity, you would say, it's all right. And I'm forgiven. Thank you. I'm free. But somebody's still got to wash the shirt. Hello, somebody. His forgiveness does not take away the fact he's got a big stain. You've got to take the stain away. And God does forgive you when you say, God, forgive me. Yes, you must accept Him as your personal Savior. He's the only Savior. And He's got to be your Savior. But you can't just stop there. You got to wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And that happens in waters of baptism. Hallelujah. Because when you go into those waters, this water is not anything special. It's just good old St. Joe water. It's got some, it's nice and warm. All right. It's got a little bit of chlorine in it, a little bit of hot tub chemicals to make it smell pretty. But there's no chlorine or pH or any chemicals that can take away your sins. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, other power I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lift your hands and thank Him for His blood right now. Thank you, Lord, that not only am I forgiven, but my sins are washed away. My friend, I can remember the day I went down in that water. I was only 9 years old. I'll never forget that night. And I went down in the name of Jesus. When I came out of that water, I knew without a shadow of a doubt, my sins were washed away. That He took all of my sins and He put them in the sea of forgiveness. Never, ever to be remembered again. Oh, what a joy when the load of sin is lifted. Never to be a burden again. when sins are washed away. I'm telling you right now, my friend, tonight you can be baptized in the name of Jesus for remission of your sins. I'll put you down in that water and you can experience exactly what I'm talking about. Oh, come on, somebody put your hands together and praise Him. That's why in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Hey, if you're going to go through the trouble of getting the baptismal robe on, getting your hair wet, might as well do it in the name of Jesus. Hello, somebody. Paul said it. He said, whatever you do in word or do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. 1 Peter 3:20-21. Which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, or the ark was apparent, when a few, that is eight souls, were saved by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth now also save us. Not just the putting away, the filth of the flesh is repentance. But you got to couple that repentance with water baptism. That's what the gospel message is. That's what the good news is. The answer of a good conscience towards God. I know my sins are washed away while I was buried in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you something. You might have been buried in a... I baptized people in baptistries. I baptized them in horse troughs. I baptized them in water fountains. We baptized 18 people one time in a water fountain at the University of Houston. That's right. We were having an outdoor crusade, campus crusade, and 18 people came forward and got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I said, y'all want to be baptized? I said, yeah. I turned and 10 steps away was the fountain of water for the University of Houston. I put them down in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter what kind of water you're in. You could be in a bathtub, Brother Dome. You could be in a river. I baptized people in the ocean. All you got to do is get them down and get them buried and bring them out again and they'll be washed away. Their sins will be gone. Oh, come on, somebody. Praise Him. Repentance. Baptism. And you can't forget the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the package of the gospel. That's the good news. You see, yes, they were delivered from Egypt. But see, they weren't just delivered from Egypt. They had a promised land they were going to. That's what makes... You see, Paul said it. He said, if in this world we had hope only, we'd be of all men most... If all there was to being a Christian was a good feeling on this earth, we'd be of all men most miserable. But our greatest reward is to come. It's the promise of being forever with Him. Streets of gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl. Someone said, boy, Daddy, I'll have to see that oyster. That's a big oyster. I don't know where God's going to get the oyster for the pearls, but the Bible says gates of pearl. The city where the Lamb was the light. No more sorrow, no more death. Forever, say forever. Forever with Him and the saints of old, the apostles. How many's lost somebody that was in the gospel? They were serving God when they passed away. Lift your hand. Think about it. You're standing right now in heaven saying, come on. Come on. Keep running. Fight the good fight. Don't give up. Don't compromise. Don't turn back, because we are surrounded, the Bible says, by a great cloud of witnesses. Right now, somebody's great-grandmother, mother, father, aunt, uncle, that died in the gospel. The standard is saying, stay true. Don't sell out. Don't sell short. And they're waiting for you. Hallelujah. To forever be with Him. That's our promise. That's our promise. To forever be with Him
Could you stand? In closing, Jesus gave to Peter the keys to the kingdom. Matthew 16, verse 13 through 19, we find where he hands him the keys. When someone's given the keys, they have the authority to open the door. That's why it's so important. As someone came to me one side, came to one time and said, "Well, I know Peter preached on the day of Pentecost this message, but I'd rather believe the words of Jesus over the words of Peter." You understand something? Peter was only preaching what Jesus told him to preach. But he was given the keys, the Bible says. Matthew 16, 13, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elias, and others Jeremias, or even one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." Excuse me. "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh..." You know why so many people struggle with this gospel? Because they try to intellectually dissect it. When you constantly say, "Well, I just don't understand. I just can't explain it." It's because you haven't received this revelation in your heart. You're trying to just figure it out in your head. "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed it." You can sit through a million Bible studies until you open your heart and the spirit of revelation comes to you. It's just words. It's just hodgepodge. You need to pray, "God, let the spirit of revelation come to me." And I've known people who were in the middle of Africa with just the Bible, and God reveals truth to them because the spirit of revelation came. "Blessed art thou. Flesh and blood has not revealed it, but my Father, which is in heaven." And now, Peter, because you have opened your heart and become a recipient of the Spirit of revelation, I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give to you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So Peter was handed the keys on that day. Christ went through the garden, through the beating and scourging, was crucified, died, and rose again on the third day. One last time, admonished them to preach the gospel of the death, the burial, and resurrection. He was caught away. And Peter, on that day, when there was 120 present, nobody had any question who was going to preach that day. I don't believe they sat around and fought over it. But they knew. "You know what, Matthew? You know what, John, Luke, James? You know what? Peter's the one that God gave the keys to. He's got the anointing for this." In Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost had come, it's the day when the church was born. Hey, this church wasn't born 50 years ago. This church was born 2,000 years ago. We get our roots from the Word of God. I ask you, where are your roots from? How back can you trace what you believe? And I challenge you, you might be shocked to find out where what you believe leads you. But I can look at what I believe, and it goes back to the book of Acts. It goes back to the beginning. Before this day of Pentecost ended, more than 3,000 members were added to the church. But Peter, having been entrusted with the keys to the kingdom, He did not hesitate. He did not stammer. When they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" He pulled the keys out and he said, "Repent." Everyone say, "Repent." "And be baptized, every one of you." I need 38 up there. "In the name..." Kids, let me hear you say it. "In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." When I grew up, we used to have a Sunday school song that we'd sing all the time. It was something like, 1-1-1, one way to God. 1-1-1, one way to God. 1-1-1, one way to God. Baptized in Jesus' name. Yeah. Get it in the hearts of your children. Train them young. Truth matters. Don't hang your head. Because I tell you how powerful this message is. He preached one, that's about what, a 10-minute message by the time you take it, the beginning to the end. When he preached Christ and his death. And a 10-minute message. This message was so powerful that 3,000 responded. 3,000. I believe in this day and time, there's at least that many in Buchanan and Andrew County that want the gospel. Well, come on, somebody. I don't hang my head. I stand with the Apostle Paul in Romans 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also the Greek." So, Peter, I know you hear me. Paul, I hope you like my message tonight. James, John, just rest easy. Apostles, I'm not moving that foundation you laid. That foundation is the same. I'm not ashamed of this gospel.